Thank you, Pastor. It's a blessing to be in the service tonight,
and not only tonight, but the other nights as well. I do thank you, Pastor, for the invitation to come and share in these days, and it's been my honor to be in these days. And thank the Lord for the service tonight, and His presence as we begin the service tonight. I appreciate Him manifesting Himself.
Yes.
Someone said it sure is good to be in the Father's house when He's at home.
Yes, sir.
And so I appreciate Him being here tonight. And in a great way. And I know He's always with us if we're saved. We have His ever-abiding presence, but thank God for that manifestation
of
His presence and His power from time to time. And so I appreciate the Lord allowing us to be here tonight. I do covet your prayers. The Lord had helped me. I want to read tonight, if you have a Bible with you, and follow along with me in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, and I want to begin with verse 54. Luke chapter 22, verse number 54. All right, verse 54 of Luke 22 reads like this. Then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house. And Peter followed afar off. When they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hold and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And he denied him, saying, "Woman, I know him not." And after a little while, another saw him and said, "Thou art also of them." And Peter said, "Man, I am not." And about the space of 1 hour, after another, confidently affirmed, saying of a truth, "This fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." And Peter said, "Man, I know not what thou sayest." And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, "Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice." And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Father, we thank you for the privilege to pray. I thank you for the word of God that you've preserved to this generation. I thank you for the portion you directed our heart to and let us read from tonight. I thank you for your presence, Lord, among your people tonight. Oh, Father, I appreciate the fact, dear Lord, that you have blessed us, Lord, Lord, with your presence in this meeting tonight. Unworthy as we are, I appreciate you coming by. Oh, Father, I pray now you'd add your blessings to the reading of the scriptures. I pray, Lord, that you'd have mercy on me and have mercy on this people that I'm to preach to. And Lord, for a few moments, hide me in the cross and let me lose sight of myself and immerse my mind and heart and spirit in the word of God and in your willing ways. Give us unction and utterance tonight. Give us that touch that man's not able to preach without tonight. May the word of God go forth from our lips in the power and demonstration of the Spirit of God. Oh, Holy Ghost, we welcome you tonight. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, I pray again we can see you high and lifted up tonight. Oh, Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd a smile upon us and a bend low tonight and breathe upon this place. I pray the hearts of sinners I'd be melted before you tonight. I pray you'd woo and draw men, women, boys, and girls to an altar of repentance. And there may the Lord turn from sin and look to the Savior. There, the Lord, I may be born again. Speak to that one that's grown cold and indifferent and walking afar off. Help them, Lord, to get right. Encourage and discourage, strengthen the weak. Revive us all together. May we leave here better by coming tonight. Oh, have your way. Above everything, get glory to your worthy name. We'll love you and praise you and thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. I want to preach tonight on this episode in Peter's life where he denied the Lord. You might say tonight he failed the Lord. I want to preach tonight on failure is not final. Failure is not final. Now the person tonight that has never failed has never tried. If you try, you're going to fail. And I'm glad tonight when we fail in the eyes of the Lord, with him, failure is not final. It may be final in the eyes of the world. As a matter of fact, when a person succeeds, they'll pat them on the back. But when they fail, they're ready to wash their hands of them and throw them away. So it is with Satan tonight. When we fail, my friend, he does not care anything about us. And failure is final with him. But I'm grateful tonight we have a loving Savior. But when we fail, failure is not final tonight. We have before us what I read to you tonight as you followed along, the story of Simon Peter. We find that just a few hours before in the upper room, Peter had assured the Lord that he would never fail him. Peter had assured the Lord that though the other disciples would forsake him, that he would never forsake him. And though the others denied him, that he would not deny him. And Peter said, I'll go to prison with you and I'll follow you till death. Anybody listening tonight? But oh, hear me. Peter, though he made that great, my friend, commitment and statement, the Lord reminded him that before the cock crew, he would deny him three times. The Lord knew what Peter would do. I'm grateful tonight. The Lord knows what you and I will do tonight. And I'm glad he loved Peter in spite of his failure. May I say to you tonight, the Lord does not only know my accomplishments. The Lord does not only know my victories. The Lord does not only know my mountaintops. He knows my valleys. Thank God, he knows my dark places in the road. And I'm grateful tonight of what the Bible said in John 13. Having loved his own, he loved them to the end. I'm glad he loves us tonight when we're good, and he loves us when we're bad. He loves us when we're glad. He loves us when we're sad tonight. And I'm glad failure is not final with God tonight. Now here in this story tonight, they have taken Jesus there in the Garden of Gethsemane. They've led him into the hall of Caiaphas. The disciples have all scattered like sheep, my friend. And the Bible tells us that as they led Jesus there into the hall of Caiaphas, the high priest, that Peter followed afar off. May I say to you tonight, hey God, if you want to set yourself up for failure tonight, when it comes to spiritual matters, when it comes to, thank God, things associated with Christ tonight, and just follow afar off tonight. I wonder, my friend, the condition of people under the sound of my voice tonight and in this service. I wonder tonight, first of all, are you a follower tonight? Amen. I wonder tonight, are you a follower of the Lamb? Are you a follower of Christ tonight? Amen. Oh, bless his name. If you're going to heaven tonight, you must be a follower of Christ tonight. Amen. Hey, hear me, friend. Nobody said to follow his teachings. I got all of that. But friend, salvation is not wrapped up in a plan or a program. But salvation is in a person. And that person is Jesus Christ. And he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son hath not life tonight. And I'm wondering, hey God, are you following the Lamb, following Christ tonight? For he alone knows the way home tonight. He alone is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man can come to the Father but by him tonight. So I'm wondering tonight, are you following him tonight? Amen. Are you a follower tonight? Peter was a follower. Peter, like the other disciples, thank God, had been introduced to the Lord. My friend, on the Sea of Galilee in Matthew chapter 4 and 19, the Lord passed by as Peter was, my friend, washing his nets, and the Lord said, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.
Now, this is a grand and glorious statement for the Lord to make to them to follow him. That was a statement that the teacher or the master or a rabbi, thank God, in Israel would make to his students. Amen. When he would see a student, when he would see a young man that he deemed worthy, that he deemed, my friend, with the right intellect, thank God, smart enough if you'll have it, to be teachable in the letter of the law, he'd come by and say, follow me. But Peter and those fellows that he is fishing with that day had never had, thank God, the Jewish rabbis and the elders and chief priests ever come by and say, follow me. That's too roughneck. Amen. They just didn't have the intellect or the capability to learn letters. But isn't it amazing? Here come the Lord of glory, the high priest of heaven, the rabbi of all rabbis, the master of all master, the teacher of all teacher. And he bypassed the religious crowd in Jerusalem and walked up the Sea of Galilee and found some fishermen and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. I'm glad tonight and the world may have said you're not good enough. A society said you're not worthy enough. A religion said you just don't have it. But there's a Savior tonight that's come to fallen sinners and said, if you'll follow me, I'll give you everlasting life. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Not only found them roughneck fishermen, thank God, but he found Matthew at the receipt of customs. Amen, a publican. Hallelujah. Despised by the Romans and the Jews. Nobody loved him. A publican, but Jesus walked by and said, follow me. Hallelujah. I don't know where you've been or what you've done tonight. I don't know how deep in sin you may have. Thank God. I've fallen tonight, but there's a loving Savior that's passing by your life tonight and says, follow me. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. In the John chapter 7, I believe it is, chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Amen. In him was life according to John chapter 1. And his life was the light of men. If you want to know how to find your way through this world, follow Jesus tonight. He's the light of the world. He's the life and the light of men. And if you'll follow me, he said, you won't walk in darkness, but will have the light of life tonight. Well, bless his name. And the devil told me, as a 13-year-old boy, if you get saved, that'll end your life. All of your fun will be over with. And that'll be the end of it. But I found that night, I got life. And that night, I just began to live. And I'm still living tonight because I've got eternal life. And that's the only kind God gives is eternal life tonight. And so if you'll follow him, you can have the light of life tonight. Amen. Are you a follower tonight? Amen. Amen. He's the only way that leads to heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody said we'll all eventually somehow get there if you don't follow the right one and follow the right path. Amen. And the Bible said neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name given unto heaven above men whereby we must be saved. Amen. Be it known unto you, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin, and you can be justified from all things which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Amen. Are you a follower tonight? And secondly, I might ask you tonight, if you're a follower, how close are you following tonight? Our text, as we read verse number 54, said Peter followed afar off. Some are following tonight, but they're following afar off. Amen. Now if we walk arm in arm and hand in hand with him, hallelujah. If we walk breast to breast with him, not very much can come between us. But when you walk afar off or follow afar off, you leave a great distance for many things to come between you and the Lord tonight. And Peter, though he followed, was following afar off and opening himself up. Amen. That's a dismal failure. There are some, no doubt, in this service tonight that are followers of the Lord and of the Lamb tonight. But you're following at a distance tonight. You're following far off tonight. And there's much between you and Christ tonight. And you're setting yourself up for spiritual failure tonight. Draw nigh to God and he'll draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. When we walk close to him, hey God, it'll take a great things to part us. But when we're at a distance, when we're falling way off, then there are things that'll hinder our fellowship. There are things that'll cause us to fail tonight. Amen. Anybody still with the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. So first of all, I want you to notice in verse 54 that Peter followed afar off. Amen. Bless his name. May I say tonight, Peter not only followed afar off, but notice the fire that he warmed by. Amen. The Bible said in verse 55, and Peter sat down among them. Among them that had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall. Now Peter was cold. Amen. Where two is together, there's heat. But let a distance be between two, and somebody's going to get cold. And Peter was hunting a fire to warm by because he is following at a distance. Amen. The full soul loatheth the honeycomb. If you're full of the Lord, hey God, Satan's offer just don't appeal to you. If you're near the Lord and got warmth, hey God, you're not cold in this world, and you won't be seeking another fire to warm by. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Hey God, but when you walk a distance and walk afar off and follow afar off, hey God, your heart will get cold. And oh, the fire of this world will attract you and tempt you. And Lord, before you know it, you'll be warming by the wrong fire, setting down by the fire of this world. Anybody listen to the preacher tonight?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Now that preach, not only with our relationship and our fellowship with Christ, amen, that would preach with our fellowship with the church and the people of God. That would preach with our fellowship, hey God, with our husband or our wife. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Hey God, keep the fire kindled toward God, toward the people of God. Have fervent charity. Let brotherly love continue. Hallelujah. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Be always satisfied with her beauty. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hey God, keep the fire where it ought to be tonight. You'll never be attracted or tempted by the wrong fire tonight.
Amen. That's good preaching, brother.
Amen. Hallelujah. Is anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. God help us tonight. Anybody listening tonight? Amen. Bless his name. Hallelujah. Never forget. Amen, dear husband. Amen. The wife that God's placed in your bosom tonight, and your recreation. Amen. And your relaxation. Thank God. And everything else you can do. Thank God. I might finish not near as important as loving her and nourishing and cherishing her. Amen. As Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. I'm stuck right there, preacher. Hallelujah. I've just hit a stump, amen. So I guess you're supposed to back up and plow over it again, amen. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me tonight? God, help our soul tonight. Amen. Thank God, and whatever toys you got that you play as a big boy, and whatever recreation you're involved in, thank God, the sports you love, thank God, I never put it before your wife and your children tonight and your church. Keep it in perspective tonight. Hey, you'll find out, or she'll find out, you're warming by the wrong fire tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. So here he is. He sits down among them as they kindle a fire because he's cold, because he doesn't have the warmth of Christ's fellowship, and because when this trouble has come, he decides how to follow off. I wonder what has distracted you tonight. I wonder what has happened in the church. I wonder what's been said. I wonder what others have done that have caused you how to start dragging your feet tonight and falling at a distance and not being fervent. I got in God a serving God, and tonight I know you're following, you're at a distance tonight, and failure is just around the corner tonight. Amen. Bless his name tonight. First of all, this fire that he warmed by was a fire, amen, of convenience. Amen. He hadn't built a fire. Amen. Somebody else built a fire. He just warmed by it. Amen. I've come to realize that in this age, church age, in these last few years, that most folks, I just want to warm by a fire of convenience. Amen. Most folks don't want to pray and study the Bible and come to church in a worshipful attitude. They look for somebody else. I got to bring the fire and to tote the wood. And then when they get it going, they'll sit by it and warm by it. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, fire of convenience. Amen. How long's it been since there's been a fire in your soul? And you come to the house of God. Amen. And the preacher didn't beg you to say something. Amen. But oh, before they started, I'm sure, when there's just a little pause in between, what was going on? You had such a flame in your soul that you stood up and said, hey, can I tell you what God's done in my life? Can I tell you the experience I've had with God? Hey, hello. How long's it been since you brought some fire to the house of God? How long's it been since you brought some wood to put on the fire? Hey, somebody else may have brought the fire, but you had plenty of dry wood to throw on and keep it going. Hallelujah. Hey. Mostly in Baptist churches tonight, it's not dry wood, it's wet blankets. And when a fire does start, there's plenty of wet blankets to put it out. But we ought to have dry wood tonight to throw on the fire Hallelujah. And more than just warm us, somebody else's fire. We don't always expect the preacher or the Sunday school teacher or some saint in the house of God, my friend, to stir us up. We ought to come tonight with a fire burning in our soul. The fire of convenience. Amen. Hallelujah. It is a fire of comfort. It is a cold night, and it comforted him to sit by this fire. Amen. It knocked the chill of the night off of him. A fire of comfort tonight. Amen. Most folks are not looking for dedication and separation and consecration. They're looking for a fire of comfort tonight. And if anything's a little extra hard or a little extra trouble, amen, or going an extra mile, I don't want part of that. I want that fire of comfort, amen. Oh, Lord. Want to be like that dear old saint of God that I met in the early 70s as I started going around preaching, and I preached at the church he was that he was a member of, and then he would, if I was anywhere around, he'd drive, him and his wife. Amen. His name was Baldy Bowen. And Baldy had come, and I always loved to see him come in because I knew normally he had something to put in the service, either some fire or some wood, amen, to help the service. And I heard him over and over again. He'd get up and start testifying about being saved. And he'd get happy. And the way he shouted, he'd say, whew, whew. That's the way he'd do it. And I heard him a lot of times get up and he'd say, preacher, I've been down in the pine thicket today and I got my dues paid up. Hallelujah. And I wondered what he's talking about for a long time, but I realized, Brother Hilton, what he's talking about. I got everything that is out of kilter in my life. I got it straightened out. Got everything between me and the Lord straightened out. Hallelujah. I got in touch with him. I got filled with the power of God. Got my dues paid up. And I come to the house of God with some flame and fire in my soul. Some wood. I to throw on the fire. And he had something to say. And God blessed, and it fed the saints. Hallelujah. Oh, how many of us warmed by a fire of convenience and then by a fire of comfort tonight? Amen. We ought to move out of our comfort zone. We ought to seek God tonight. I sell all the way out. Amen. And have a fire about us tonight. Amen. But when you walk afar off from God, any fire that Satan builds, any fire that the world builds, if you're not careful, you'll move up close to it. Amen. Amen. And he didn't just move up. The Bible said he sat down among them. So thirdly, it's a fire of consent. Amen. Oh, yeah. Now, he's not said yet that he agrees with their ideology. But the longer he sits there, he does. Yeah. Amen. That's why that good book said, wherefore come you out from among them and be a separate people. Amen. That's why Paul said to Timothy in the last days, they ain't God, they have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. He said, from such turn away. That's why you're to run from apostasy in this day. Because if you sit down among it and you sit with them long enough, hey God, they'll talk you into their ideology. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Some of you are set at your workplace too long at the wrong fire, amen. And that liberal crowd has down the church that believes the King James Bible. That liberal crowd has down the virgin birth and the blood of the Lord, amen. That liberal crowd, my friend, has down a separation and sanctification and holy living, and you've sat among them too long until they have infiltrated your spirit Amen. And cause you not to feel towards God and towards the people of God and the man of God as you used to. It's a fire of conceit. You better move tonight before you fail the Lord. Amen. You sit down among the liberal crowd, the worldly crowd. And Peter did, and he heard that talk. Now he is the one that said, Lord, I'll die with you and I'll go to death with you. I'll go to prison with you. But as he listened to that crowd, as they speak up and say, well, they got that Jesus of Nazareth. And they're probably going to put him to death. And I hope they get all the rest of them. Somebody said, I heard they're going to gather the whole band up and put an end to all of them. And the more they talked, every bit of resolve that Peter had left him, and he was emptied of it. Amen. Oh, hear me. And it became a fire of conceit. He no longer disagreed and held his own resolve, but he lined up with this crowd as they began to say, you're one of them. Amen. Oh, and here's his failure tonight. Here's his forsaking of his Lord. And he said, I don't know him. I'm not one of them. I don't know him. And he failed. He's fallen off. He's warmed by the wrong fire. And now he's forsook his Lord. Hear me tonight. Oh, he's failed the Lord. He's denied of the very God. My friend, that has been so kind and good to him for the last 3.5 years. I wonder what fire you're warming by tonight. Yes, amen. And I wonder if you failed the Lord and if you forsaken the Lord. Amen. Bible said, as soon as Peter denied that third time and said, I know not what thou sayest, the Bible said the cock crew. Verse 61 said, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. When he forsook his Lord, when he failed his Lord, when he denied his Lord, this fowl reminded him of it. Have y'all ever noticed when you get out of kilter with God, when you get out of fellowship with God, when you fail the Lord, when you forsake the Lord, when you deny the Lord, when you warm by the wrong fire, when you fall afar off and get in this shape, have you ever noticed how that it seemed like even very nature itself cries out against you? Can't be happy nowhere, no satisfaction anywhere. And just a rooster crowing calls him to remember the words of the Lord. The fowl reminded him that he denied the Lord just like the Lord said he would do. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And not only want you to see the fact that he followed afar off, not only want you to see the fire that he warmed by and the forsaking of his Lord and the fowl that warned him, but I want you to notice the forgiveness he sought. Verse 62 said, and Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter, Lord, preacher, what do I do when I fail the Lord? What do I do when I deny him? What do I do when I forsake him? What do I do when I warm by the wrong fire? What do I do when I get to the place I like Simon Peter, that I've done what I said I would not do and would never do. Amen. Hey, but one thing to do, and that's to find you a place to pray and weep bitterly about it. Repent of it. Ask God to forgive. That's all you can do. Don't try to justify it. Amen. Don't try to blame it on the folks that's around the fire. Amen. Don't try to blame it on the disciples. Oh, that wasn't there. Anybody listening to me tonight? Take responsibility for your own actions tonight and say, it's not my brother nor my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. I did it to myself. I'm my own worst enemy. It's me, Lord. It ain't your fault. It ain't because you said it. You warned me about it. It's my own failure. It's the weakness of my own flesh. It's not Satan, Lord. It's me. Hallelujah. word. Amen. Oh, the forgiveness that he sought. Amen. He went out and he wept bitterly. Now here's my personal ideology tonight. As Simon Peter is out there somewhere in the darkness, alone by himself, weeping bitterly. Amen. I believe it's at that moment that Satan first comes to him and tries to sift him as wheat. Amen. I believe it's there he tries to overthrow his faith. Anybody listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. And tonight, when you realize what you've done, when you realize you failed the Lord, it's usually at that moment that Satan comes along and the flesh comes along and tells you what a sorry individual you are. And why God should ever love you. I hear Peter weeping out yonder bitterly. Because it ain't just that cock or that rooster, that fowl that warned him or reminded him. He saw the look of the Lord.
Oh, that's what God. Yeah.
He saw the eyes of the Savior.
Yeah, yeah.
And it reminded him that he had done what he told a Savior he'd never do. I hear Satan say, did you see how he looked at you? You've seen his eyes for 3.5 years. Amen. You've watched him have compassion on the multitudes. You watched still those eyes as they wept at Lazarus' tomb. You watched those eyes as they were moved with compassion for the widow of Nain as she was burying her only son. Anybody listening to me tonight? You watched those eyes. Thank God, as he looked at the little children and said, suffer them to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. He said, you saw those eyes of anger as he walked into the temple and overthrew the money at the tables of the money changers and drove them out with a cord, with a whip. Amen. But oh, Peter, did you ever see those eyes like he looked at you? Peter, you failed. Peter, you've sinned. Peter, you let down the only friend you ever had. Peter, you failed the very Lord that loved you more than anybody else ever loved you. And did you see the hurt in his eyes? And did you see the forlorn look in his eyes as he looked at you? Oh, Peter, hey, why don't you just end it here? You're no better than Judas. Why don't you just die here? The thing for you to do, how would we just go ahead and end it all right here? Hey God, you'll never talk to him again. Hey God, he's headed into judgment. They'll crucify him tomorrow. And you'll never get to talk to him. You betrayed the very one that loved you. And he couldn't love you again. He could never forgive you. Hey God, you'll never have his friendship again. It's over with when he needed you the most. You found him the greatest. Why don't you end it right here, Peter? Why don't you just go ahead? There's no use for you to live anyhow. Anybody listen to me tonight? And as that rolled over in Peter's mind and in his spirit and in his heart, no doubt he contemplated some type of suicide, some type of ending it all and throwing in the towel. Why, anyway, he'd never get to talk to the Lord no more. He'd never get to say how sorry he was. He'd never sat down in his presence and in his with his person, talk to him anymore. Amen. And as the hours of the night waned on, amen, and Peter thought about it, and Satan put the pressure on him. And don't tell me tonight there's not pressure, amen, in Christian service tonight. As a matter of fact, the pressure is greater to be a Christian in this age than ever has been. Now, I've heard the different crowds, and you just take whatever you want tonight when I'm preaching, so listen to me for just a moment. You get your turn, you can preach it like you want to, but I want to say to you tonight, I've heard that crowd say, man, it's easy to live for God. It's easy. Thank God. I want to tell you, friend, tonight, thank God, it's a suffering way. Amen. I'm not complaining tonight, but I'm telling you, as these days come to a close, thank God, these are perilous times, and there's a pressure cooker on the people of God, and there's a spirit of oppression and depression among the people. You're hearing me tonight, because the spirit of Antichrist, thank God, and Satan is alive and real in this. Is anybody listening to me? God help us. And such a pressure to give in and a compromise. Are y'all listening to me tonight? It's run through all of our hearts and mind. Anybody listening to me tonight? Give up. And as the night waned on, Satan put the pressure on Peter. My friend, his faith was tried. Satan had him in the sifter. And I'll tell you, friend, it is a rough time in Peter's. Now, anybody listen to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. But when he got to his lowest point, and he got to agreeing with everything Satan said, and he got to agreeing to his flesh, to what his flesh said, and your flesh will lie to you. And Satan will lie to you, and society and the world will lie to you. And he got to that point, and he almost agreed. Started to agree with him. He remembered not only the Lord said, before the cock crow, you'll deny me three times, but he remembered something else the Lord said.
Oh, I heard that.
Hallelujah. For in verse 31 of Luke 22, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you that he might sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for thee. That thou faith fail thee not, and when thou art converted, strengthen the brother. He didn't say, Peter, I'm going to be praying for you. He said, I've already prayed for you. Hallelujah. And he said, here's what I pray, that though Satan desired to have you, I thank God that he might sift you as wheat. He said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And Peter, when thou art converted, hallelujah, strengthen the brethren. When you get beyond this failure, Peter, hallelujah, you'll be able to strengthen the brethren. You couldn't help them when you thought you was better than them, when you felt like they'd deny you, but you wouldn't, that they'd forsake me, but you wouldn't. Hey, but he said, when you come through this failure and get converted, he said, you'll be able to strengthen and to help the brethren. Anybody listen to me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm glad he's prayed for us tonight. Hallelujah. Hey, bless his name tonight. And again, I want to repeat to you tonight, he doesn't just know my mountaintop experiences. He knows my dark places in the road. He not only knows my accomplishments, he knows my failures tonight. By the way, when he took me tonight, he took me with all of it. Hallelujah. Woo! Hey, God wasn't looking through rose-colored glasses when he saved me. He knew what I could do and what I would do, but he loved me in spite of who I was and what I'd do. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless his name tonight. And I'll tell you one thing tonight. You can remember it's a pressure that builds in this day, and Satan and the flesh and the world cries against you. Remember, there's one that said, I prayed for you. I prayed for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do y'all know what it means for him to pray for you? If he prays for you, hallelujah, it's as good as done. Amen. Hallelujah. He prayed here in the upper room and said, Father, I thank you that you always hear me. Amen. Are y'all hearing me? Hey, God, if he prays tonight, it's as good as done. Amen. Hey, when he said, I prayed for thee, what he meant by that, Hey, God, was I have eclipsed thee. Amen. Anybody know what an eclipse is?
Yeah.
We have solar and lunar eclipses. Amen. Sometimes, amen, how the moon gets between the earth and the sun. Sometimes it's the other way. There's a solar, hey God, and a lunar eclipse. It stands between us and what's bearing down on us. And thank God the Lord said to Peter, when Satan comes against you on a shift his wheat, I remember I'm standing between you and what's bearing down on you. I'm praying for you. I'm standing between you and what would shift you as wheat. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm well tonight. There's somebody praying for us. Whatever you're going through, whatever the pressure is, hey God, remember, He's praying for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Bless His name. Amen. So he sought forgiveness as he wept bitterly and remembered the precious words of the Lord. I prayed for thee. Amen. Not only did he seek forgiveness, but he found it. Not only in the words, the Lord said, I have prayed for thee.
Lord God.
Oh, I need to run across that again just a little bit. I'm stuck there again like I was a while ago. God don't wait for you to get in trouble and start praying for you as your intercessor, since he knows what's coming down the pike. Hallelujah. He'll pray for you before you get there. What makes you think that? 1 Corinthians 10. Thank God. Oh, the Bible said he will not suffer us to be tempted above that which we are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. They are an inclusive package. Amen. When the temptation comes, then automatically the way of escape comes with it. Amen. He will with the temptation. Woo! God is faithful. He won't suffer us to be tempted above what we're able. But when we start through the fire, he's already got it set to the right degree. Amen. And it won't be beyond what we're able to bear. He's already made a way of escape. He's already prayed for us. God, don't wait till we get to hit a fence and then try to rush some grace. Grace is already there. When we get there waiting on us, ought to get us through our trial and our difficulty tonight. Amen. The forgiveness he sought, he wept bitterly, and he found and remembered that the Lord said, I prayed for you. But I'm thankful he did find forgiveness, aren't you? And it wasn't just in the words that the Lord said, I prayed for you, that your faith failed thee not, and without converted strength in the brethren. Hallelujah. But after the crucifixion, hallelujah, on the first day of the week, according to Mark chapter 16, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome went early to the sepulcher at the rising of the sun to bring sweet spices to anoint the body of Jesus. And as they talked, as they went, who could roll a stone away for them when they got there? But when they got there, the stone was gone. And there was a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment. And they were afraid or affrighted. And he said, be ye not affrighted. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. Hallelujah. But don't just hang around here. Verse number 7 said, but go your way and tell his disciples, amen, that he goeth before you into Galilee, and that you shall see him as he said unto you. Hallelujah. And that's been enough. Hallelujah. For them women to walk into where them disciples were and said, the Lord has risen, and an to Galilee, and we had seen just as he said. Had been enough, because Peter was a disciple. But the Lord put a little twist on it. And the Lord added a little flavor. And said, tell the disciples, but don't just tell the disciples, tell Peter. Tell Peter, I saw him weeping. Tell Peter, I know he failed me. Tell Peter, I know he denied me. But tell Peter, I got up over his failure. Tell Peter, I got up over his sin. Tell Peter, I got up over all of that. And I still love him. And he's still forgiven. Fire's not fine. Amen. And two times in our Bible, it's recorded, not only did the Lord send word through these women to tell Peter, be sure you tell Peter. You can put your name in there tonight. You may be a disciple, but go ahead and pencil in your name tonight. Woo! He got up over your sin. He got up over your mistake. He got up over your failure. Hallelujah.
Woo! Yeah, preach it out.
Amen. Hallelujah. And two times in this Bible, hallelujah, it's recorded that the Lord appeared to Simon.
Yeah, that's good.
Luke 24, verse 34, the two disciples that had walked the road to Emmaus, and Christ walked with them. And when they broke the bread, he broke the bread. They knew who he was. Their eyes were open. They ran back to Jerusalem, went into that room where them disciples were, and was fixing to tell them that they had seen the risen Lord, that he was alive. It was true what the angels had said, what the women had said, and what the disciples had seen when they saw the empty tomb. But before they could say anything, them people said, hold up, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Hallelujah.
Woo!
Woo!
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Bless his name. By the way, they used the name Simon. His given name, his carnal name, his fleshly name. They said the Lord has appeared indeed unto Simon. That is on the underside of Pentecost. Amen. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, on this side of Pentecost, when Paul wrote to the church at Corinth about the resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, he said, let me remind you, hey God, who all seen the Lord? Hey, and he said, let me remind you, he was seen of Cephas. He didn't call him Simon. He called him Cephas, for the Lord said, your name is Simon, but you're going to be called Cephas. Amen. Hallelujah. Peter, Paul said he'd been converted. Thank God, Paul said, thank God, I don't mean saved, but I mean he's been strengthened. He's overcome. Are y'all hearing me tonight? He failed. Yes, he did. But failure's not final. God didn't leave him a Simon. God made him a Cephas. And Cephas means a rock man, a stone. Hallelujah. And then God can take our failures and make us firm tonight. A firm foundation out of our life. Failure's not final tonight.
Glory to God.
It's only two times in the scripture that the Lord appearing to him is mentioned. And Peter wrote two epistles, 1 and 2 Peter, but he'll never say nothing about it. It must have been so special. It must have been so intimate that Peter said, I can't write to you about it. Amen. But I'm glad he appeared to me.
Yeah.
Woo!
Hallelujah.
In spite of our failure, I'm glad he loves us tonight. Amen. Here's the forgiveness that he sought and found. May I hurriedly say, Oh, preacher, may I hurry to say, amen. There's a friend he found, John chapter 21, on the seashore. Amen. When he had took off his fisher's coat and put it back on and swam to the shore and pulled in the net. And the Lord said, come and dine. And the Lord said, lovest thou me more than these? Three times. Peter was grieved and said, and I ain't got time to preach it. But Peter said, Lord, thou knowest that I love me. He said, that's the case, Peter. Feed my lambs, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. And in verse 19, he said, go ahead and follow me. Hallelujah. I know you failed. I know you denied me. I know what you did that night, but Peter, I want you to follow me. Verse number 20. Two, he said the same thing. Follow thou me. Failure is not final. Amen. Bless his name. How do you know that, preacher? How do we know failure's not final? Well, let me say this and I'm through. Before the crucifixion and Pentecost, we find Peter warming by their own fire, denying his Lord, failing him. And from the natural standpoint, you'd say he's washed up. That's the end. He'll never be used. But when he wept bitterly and the Lord said, I prayed for you, and then appeared to him after his resurrection, and on Pentecost, he was endued with that sweet spirit. Is anybody listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. And in Acts chapter 2, this same Peter that we've seen in this text, warming by their own fire and denying his Lord on Pentecost, amen, as the Holy Ghost came and they spake, amen, in their own tongue. They did. Their own language, but yet when it got to the ears of them 17 different nationalities of Jews that's gathered together for Pentecost, they heard it in their own language. Hallelujah. I don't know whether, thank God, the miracle was tongues or ears. Amen. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Woo! Hallelujah. But he spake to them, thank the Lord. And somebody come by because they heard the wonderful works of the Lord in their language. And somebody said, these are drunk with new wine. That's what's wrong with them. They're acting like folks that's been a hold of new wine. Amen. And the Bible said, Peter standing up with the 11. Hallelujah. Here's that fellow that had failed. Here's that fellow that had denied. But now, after forgiveness, after the Lord had spoken to him, after the Holy Ghost had came, he stood up with the 11, and the 11 just all took about two steps back, and Peter went to preaching, hallelujah, and said, these men are not drunk with wine, as you suppose me in the third hour of the day, but this is that was spoken of by the prophet Joel, hallelujah. And he preached such a message that 3,000 were converted. Amen. Their strength to be what God wants us to be. Amen. You may be here tonight as a sinner and you feel as a complete failure. And the sorrow of the world is eating at you. Because you feel like a nothing and a nobody. Can I say to you, the world may mark you off. It's amazing how the world does. As long as you've got money, amen. Youth, strength, they'll party with you. You're the man, you're the woman. When your money's gone, when your strength's gone, when your youth is gone, when you're no longer the life of the party, but you're laying yonder on the side of the road, wanting your own vomit because sin has so taken a hold of you, then they just want to mark you off. But the Lord loves you tonight. And he says, follow me. Let me read this and I'm through. For you see our calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence tonight. Yeah. I tell you, failure's not final with God. Right. He's able to lift you out of the muck and mire of sin and save you tonight. There may be saints, there may be children of God, there may be believers, there may be disciples, there may be followers tonight of the Lord. Fallen afar off, would you draw nigh? There may be those women by their own fire, would you come tonight and say, Lord, forgive me for not walking close to you. There may be those tonight that have failed their Lord. You said you never would. You affirmed before God and many witnesses that you'd never do what others have done, but tonight you failed. I wonder, would you come tonight and seek that forgiveness that the Lord has? And remember, he knew and he's prayed for you. And tonight, because of the resurrection and because of the power of the Holy Spirit that raised Christ from the dead, you can overcome your failure. There can be life after your failure. Amen. Failure's not final with God tonight. Everybody stand, please.